Blue Apron Take Back Dinner.
Hi, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And for you guys that have joined us for the first time, what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them two questions. One is the truth, one is a lie. We try to figure out which one is the lie. For everybody that's listening on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast needs, know that we stream live at the Comedy Store on Mondays at 4:30-ish and most Fridays at 8:30-ish. Anyway, Jessica, would you please introduce our guests?
I'd love to. If you guys, real quick, aren't subscribed to the Liars Club on YouTube, please do that. Thank you. Okay, this gentleman to my left, I just met him at Big Pine Comedy Festival, where he was rocking the biz. He does a lot of shows, I'm finding out.
I'm also an avid bowler.
Yes. He's avid, and then you do a show at a bowling alley.
I do a show at a bowling alley. I do a show at a couple bowling alleys. That's where I'm biggest, yes, is at the bowling alleys.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Specifically the bowling alleys that are like full entertainment venues. One that they got a lounge, they got the lanes, they got the arcade.
And I also, yeah, that's called a bowling alley.
Yeah. But there's a showroom.
And I read your
balls.
No big deal. Not bragging, but I'm doing pretty good.
I read your bio. You were born in the Midwest, but raised in the Northeast.
An old bio. Old bio. First
this is
bio.
Sean McBride.
Welcome to the show, Sean.
Thank you for
welcome
having
to the
me.
Show.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah, Sean drives like he's from the Northeast, too. I didn't think we were going to make it here tonight. It scared the shit out of me the whole
what
way.
What are you talking
Sean.
About?
I would think you'd
not
be a great driver.
Not enough people use the far right lane.
Well, there you
the
go.
The far right lane.
We used all four lanes, and it was only a three-lane road.
Yeah. You wouldn't be here yet if I didn't make my moves.
I was texting Jess like,
oh, my God, that's so sexy the way you said that.
ETA 806 or never.
Yeah, no. We might not make it past the San Vicente intersection.
Did it really give you anxiety?
I just had a pretty stressful day, and then being rushed and switching a lot of lanes.
You were tired,
a little on.
And I took it upon myself to kick up your adrenaline.
To make sure I didn't fall asleep.
Yeah,
there you go. There you
I
go.
Wanted you to be a good guest. I was worried. I'm like, the Dave that I have right now is not going to be good for
thanks,
the Liars
buddy.
Club. Well, he's going to be up here. Well. He's going to be too tired. He's not going to be able to put in the effort required for a good lie. And we're
you
just
woke
get
me
some,
up, buddy. You
yeah,
did it.
Here he is.
All right, let me introduce this gentleman. Very muscular. I didn't realize how muscular you were. But I think it may be because he coaches polo.
I do, water right? polo, yeah.
Water polo.
I big wish it was into actual the polo. Like he was on a horse earlier with a golf club.
Yeah, where do you teach water polo at?
I coach water polo at in El Segundo.
Wow. I was going to say at your local pool.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He's the mayor of El Segundo. Do you
he's
know
opened
that?
Up for tons elected. Of comics. I actually met him when he was on the road with Bert Kreischer.
Oh, nice, yep. Nice.
In
oh,
Alabama's.
I see. That makes sense now. That makes sense.
I think because you're a college partier.
Yeah, that's
this
it.
This is Dave just, Williamson, by
just
the way.
A college
Dave
partier.
Williamson.
That's it. No more.
He partied in college.
Yeah.
He was in a frat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was the frattiest guy that wasn't in a frat.
Oh, really?
You weren't in a frat?
I wasn't.
You're in a frat right now. Stop it.
I played water polo, and I didn't really need to be in a frat. Like, those were my buddies. That was my, like, social circle.
He was above it.
But I did, and that we're not telling I'm lies yet, it. So you can take this as a true story. I rushed frats at University of Miami my freshman and sophomore year, and I didn't even go to school there. Mm. Like, we were on the quarter system, so we started college 2 weeks later than everyone else. So all my buddies went to UF and FSU. They were all gone, and I was still home in Miami. So I went to go hang out with my buddies in Miami, and I just went to Rush, pretending like I was a student. And they
let
were
them
all
make
like,
their pitch.
Zit, dude. I would pretend like my dad
why
was
do you
super
think
rich.
I would be a good teak? Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, my dad's in the oil game up in Alaska. They were like, let's get you a drink and a chick. And I'm like, all right, buddy.
Yeah. Let me ask you this.
How's it feel her not being an Eskimo?
Let me ask you this. So you played water polo in college all 4 years?
Four and a half.
Really?
He was a super senior.
And as a water polo player, do you get a lot of puss? Get a lot of puss? Get a lot of that puss?
What the hell?
Come on, you don't
know,
want
Dave,
to know
don't
that.
Lie.
Come
can
on.
I, well, he is married with how many kids?
I'll tell you this. I've never.
I'm not saying now. I'm saying back in the day.
My wife was a lifeguard at the pool where we practiced water polo. And
so
I
that's
met her
a
there.
Yes. That's a yes.
So you might be on to something.
Okay.
Not only did I get it, I married it.
Okay. I'm just was curious, like when you had your water polo matches in college, were like the women like, yeah, dude. Were they, was it like that?
Did you have a lot of women come to your matches?
Yeah, that's, see, now you're all fucking curious.
Yeah. I just don't think that would have been something
the groupie situation.
Yeah, that's what we want to know.
I just had an interesting college experience all together because I was from Miami, Florida, and I went to college in Auburn, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And so I was the only dude rocking like wife beater undershirts.
Uh-huh.
Nobody had that shit yet, right? I would wear like ironic Hawaiian shirts unbuttoned with an earring and bleach tips, and I was boy band guy before boy band guy was a thing.
That's cutting edge shit in Alabama.
Yeah, dude.
I created that.
You know, what else too? This was the smoothest shit, and I didn't even know I was being smooth. Is growing up in Miami, there's a lot of Hispanic culture, so everybody would kiss on the cheek. Boys and girls, when you would see each other, hello and goodbye, you would kiss on the cheek. It was just a thing, right?
Oh, you did that in Alabama?
So I went to Alabama, and I'd show up to parties. Thank God it wasn't during Me Too. It would not go well these days. But I would just go to the party, and I'd say, hey, girls, what's up? And I'd kiss them on the cheek, and then I was like, hey, I'm going to go run to the bar to meet a friend, and I'll be back. And I'd kiss them on the cheek. And then it just – about 6 months into my college career, I was at a party, and I went to go say goodbye to some girls on the girls' water polo team, and I kissed them on the cheek, and I saw them give each other a glance and a little smirk. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I go, oh, shit, that's not normal to you guys.
No.
I'm so embarrassed.
It took you six fucking months to figure it out, though.
I never said I was smart, all right?
Look at Pierre over here.
But they were all like, we think it is so cute. And I'm like, oh, thank God.
I bet the girls were arguing, like, who is he dating? I don't know. He kissed me the other night.
Yeah, probably.
Me yesterday.
He's a real cheek kisser.
Well, welcome to the show. And I would like to introduce, for those of you that are listening for the first time, our on-air producers. To my right is Mr. Austin Walker. He will be taking your questions if you're playing along live. He'll relay your questions, your thoughts over here. He's a big Gator fan.
Go Gators.
Yeah, can't miss him today.
Yeah, he's got all
the orange.
I know. And also a big shout out to Michael Evans, who is manning the switchboard over there. Put yourself on.
I'm on, baby.
There you go. Todd Walker, who helped out earlier. Also a very awesome comic.
I thought you were about to say awesome Mala Malik or whatever it was.
You really? I'd probably be more like, Michael, you getting some poos? Getting some poos? Austin, getting some poos? Okay.
Todd does look foreign.
Yeah. What? Where'd that come from? Anyway, but let's jump right into the show. How about that, Jessica?
I'm down. Let's do it.
All right. And what'll happen is you'll tell a story. He'll tell a story. We'll go to the audience, and then we'll rotate it around. And at the end of two stories, then we'll make a vote.
Okay. And you guys get to ask and vote on each other. You didn't. Like, you guys didn't tell each other what you were going
to
do, did you?
No. Sean started to. And I said, don't do that.
He's like, there's a chance that there might be a game element involved here, and I need to not know what
See,
you want to do.
See, he's smart.
Yeah, he shut it down. I was all about.
I'm competitive.
Well, in my book, the shitty driver goes first. Please go first.
I got mad at him. I was like, I thought we were going to game plan and strategize. And he's like, no, we're not going to.
What's your first story?
My story is about the first time I ever got in a bunch of trouble at school.
How old are you?
Oh, you got in a lot of trouble, huh?
I was in third grade.
Okay, maybe.
I mean, well, for me,
So I have ADHD boy at home, so it doesn't mean anything unless it's kindergarten.
No, let me tell you, it was fourth grade.
Okay.
I'm going back through the schools.
What was your teacher's name?
My teacher at the time, Mrs. Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Sawyer?
One for one.
I had a Mr.
How about
Sawyer.
That?
You
yeah.
did?
Yeah.
Is that part of it, too? You wait for the pause? Is there a poker element to this?
Oh, like, yeah.
How did he react to it?
Well, yeah. Whatever you do.
Because I actually gave you my third grade teacher, even though I was in fourth grade. It was Mrs. Howarth, but I was like, I got to say something to be confident quick. So now you guys don't know what the hell I'm doing. I got everyone here off guard.
All right. We're frazzled.
Let's now get to your story.
So I was in Wilbraham, Massachusetts, where I grew up, and I just moved out there. And there was a couple kids, Chris Palmer and James Appleton, that had like out before school were like always getting into it and like threatening to fight each other. And it was becoming a big thing, like where people were like seeing it and they were, you know, hyping it up. And I was really into boxing at the time. And I know it's ridiculous, but I was like aware of like Don King and like promotion and all this stuff. And they were about to fight and all these people wanted to watch it. And I stepped in and I was like, guys, you can't just give this away. We need to promote this and like sell tickets to it. So I arranged it to sell tickets to a fight in fourth grade.
Where was the fight you were going to watch it at?
Where we were going to watch it, I set up. What I was going to say was, the plan was I was sold the location of the fight, which was going to be at a different school, like nearby, because there was like another kid's school. There was like our school, which was third to fifth grade.
No, were you going to watch a real fight, or what? Are you
no, I was selling tickets so the students
to the two kids that didn't like each other.
Yeah, they didn't like each other.
So I can relax over there to the left.
Yeah, I was selling tickets to the two of them. Got it where it was like 25 cents a ticket. This is like in 1993.
And wow, so, that was like 75 cents back then.
I know, yeah. I know. It was like I was working with the lunch money they had.
Okay.
And so I was going 25 cents because I knew they still had to eat. I wasn't totally heartless, but I wanted, and it was like a bunch of kids bought it and bought into
25
it.
25 cents for lunch
25
money?
Cents. No, but they had like $1.25 to $2. Like their parents would give them to spread it out. Like you could get a couple things. And I sold the location, and what it was like another school that was nearby. I'm like, we're going to do it over there, and I will tell the kids the date, the time, everything. They did it in advance. And then some punk like,
came
up.
Was the location a bowling alley?
No, it was not a bowling alley. It was not. But another kid caught wind of it, and he wanted to go, and I was like, it's 25 cents to find the location. He was like, no, I'm just going to tell on you and blow this whole thing up if you don't give it to me for free. And it was like one of those, like, I'm being battle tested. So I was literally like, fuck you, do it. And he did it, and we got called down to the principal's office, all three of us. Like, the two kids are fighting. The two kids fighting denied everything. They're like, this whole thing was a joke. And, like, they were just like, we weren't going to actually do it. And they were like, okay. And the guy lets them get up, and, like, I'm, like, kind of like, all right, we're good here. We're out. We're done. And I get up to go leave, and Mr. Lash, the principal, was just like, not so fast. Sit back down. And he was one of those dudes where it was like he was like within 3 years
Mr.
of retiring.
Lash,
Mr.
Lashed
Lash.
Out.
Yeah, lashed out.
You know what's so funny, Jessica? My apologies for interrupting you. Is today I was just farting around doing my thing, right? And I thought to myself, God, we've had a lot of sexual stories in the past couple months.
Yeah.
A lot of sexual stories. It would be nice if someone could just tell like a normal little story.
Right.
And now it's happening. And I'm all like, no dicks are being sucked.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck is going to happen?
No.
Like, what's up?
Mark Melvin actually said, Mark Melvin said 25 cents. That's a partial blowjob, maybe a hand job behind the gym stand. So he's in the same mindset.
Inflation hadn't hit 1992 yet. So
the story's not over. We don't know what Mr. Lash is going to
do. Mr. Lash.
I was going to say,
he came in and gave everyone a hand job.
Yeah, so that was when I was
and I'm engaged.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Lash, we were together for 25 years until he passed away. I'm a widower. No, he like sat me down and just like fucking ripped into me. Like it was one of those where it was just like in my head, I was like, start crying. Like just kind of like make it stop. So I started crying. He was like, in 40 years as an educator, like I have never heard of a student selling tickets to a fight. And he made me go classroom to classroom and return the money to the kid with the kids, like with tears in my eyes. Everything.
How much money did you make?
It was like $7. It was like not even that much money.
So more than any of us have made in comedy.
Exactly.
Tax free.
You know, next step will be I'll get a feature wage, but it wasn't quite there yet. But they called my mom and like explained the whole thing to her, and like she's like pissed because she has to be. But she called my dad and told me after the fact. He was like, she's like, well, what do you have to say for your son? My dad was in sales and advertising. He was like, he's kind of following in my footsteps, Judy. What the hell do you want me to like? That's pretty innovative, like
Judy.
Kid's a closer.
So sweet. That's so sweet, Judy.
Okay, wow. That was the story. Yeah,
that's a good story though. That's a really good story.
Well, I mean, yeah, you do run shows now, so you never stopped.
No, I kept promoting. I guess I'm the white Don King.
So you were in the fourth grade. So you were what, like eight?
Fourth grade,
nine or ten.
I was on the younger side.
Do you remember the kids' names who were going to fight?
James Appleton and Chris Palmer.
Do you remember like liner notes and like CDs or anything like that? Because people like it always astounds me that people have such great memories of every kid's name, every teacher's name.
You said liner notes,
You know what the liner looked like on an album or a CD, and they'll like the thank yous and who produced what.
Oh, I didn't
like,
know there was a name for those.
Yeah.
Sean reads his old yearbooks regularly.
Yeah.
Them are called liner notes.
I wonder what she's doing now. Everybody would. Did you guys sign your yearbooks hags? Like just the cheap, like the easy.
Have a great summer.
Like you just would write hags.
Well, KIT, obviously.
That was more. Yeah.
What's that mean?
Keep in touch.
Oh, really?
KIT.
You are such a great guy. You are gonna do anything you want in life. KIT. Yeah. Yeah,
right. Wow.
We just did hags.
Too sweet.
That was like if you didn't give a fuck about the person. Yeah. It was just hags, sign your autograph, there you go.
And then there was some that they set up like a math equation where it would say, too sweet to be forgotten.
Oh, no.
That person. That's what we were doing at Violent Elementary in Miami.
Wow.
Hey, did you guys have I signed your crack? And they'd sign it right by the
there. Oh,
that was popular. That was a go-to.
That was a big one.
That's a highbrow comedy joke for an elementary school kid right there.
Yeah, cracks were highly occupied.
Wow, that's interesting. I never did anything like that in school.
You were goody-goody?
No, I was like, fuck you wieners for going and doing life. I'm getting high in the graveyard with the rest of the cool kids.
Yeah, I had to like a last minute rush to get everybody to sign mine.
Yeah. I could see that.
I forgot to be popular.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
I failed a year just to get my yearbook signed.
Okay.
I did for my yearbook.
I love that voice. Also.
My junior year, you'd have homeroom like first period. And it was always like mixed up. Like we had different kids in different grades were in our home rooms. And they called and it was the first day of school. And they were like, all seniors, please report to the courtyard for like the senior class picture. And like half the kids in my home room were seniors. And I was a junior. And I just got up and went with them to the courtyard and got myself into the senior class picture. And so I was like,
You're a real rebel, buddy.
Oh, I know, right?
That's crazy, Sean.
Awesome. But nobody else thought to do it. And when the yearbooks came out that year, that's where I would sign. I'd go to the class picture and then I'd sign my name above where I was in clearly as a junior.
Are you sure
like,
you want that out there? You could probably still get in trouble for that.
I don't know. Mr.
You
Lash
so
is long retired.
You looked so mysterious when you first came in and now I feel like I know everything about you. Okay, Dave, your turn.
All right. I'm going to turn the tables from being in school towards experiencing school as an adult.
Ooh.
Okay.
I had my gallbladder removed in my early 30s.
Okay.
If you don't know.
Which gallbladder was it?
The only one I'll ever have. God gives you one, and if you get gallstones, you got to get it out. So part of the side effects is your stomach can be a little upset easily from time to time. And I forget constantly that I don't have a gallbladder. So I went to there's a big fair down in OC, down in the OC. There's like a huge fair.
Why would you think got a gallbladder.
Exactly. Well, I think most normal people remember what major surgeries they've had in their life. But my dumb ass just shovels food in my mouth no matter where I'm at, you know?
Like, what can't you eat?
You know, I don't let it hold me back because I don't want to be a victim.
Right.
One of the Crohn's disease people.
I'll just say, look, the best way I can describe it is you have one less filtration method between food to
so does it come out
your mouth
watery or hard?
Yeah. Take your best guess, Jess. There's two routes here.
Look, I'm able to live a normal life, guys, all right?
You didn't make it seem that way.
It's just you're more if you're not
you made
smart,
it seem like your special needs or something.
You guys are not being sensitive to my disability right now.
Okay. Our apologies.
Can we get a GoFundMe going for Dave?
If you had something serious allergy, then we could talk.
All right, yeah, peanuts. No, it's just you're more likely to get yourself in a tight situation if you don't eat smart. Let's put it that way. And I went to the fair, and I forgot that I probably should not do this, and I decided I was going to eat every fucking fried thing they had there.
Oh, yeah.
So I went nuts.
Yeah.
I had the fried Oreos, the fried pickles. Oh. I mean, they had
pickles hard to digest, I hate to tell you.
Dude, they had ice cream sandwiches.
Pickles. I love pickles.
Pickles are hard to digest.
They had fried ice cream. They had all this. I just went to town. And
this is the OC Fair, right?
Yeah. So I thought I was doing like social media content, right? I had my kids there. I'm fucking taking pictures of it. I'm putting it up. Look at what crazy thing I ate now. So I had to get back because I was coaching high school water polo. And I was doing
We've
playoff game.
We've had a water slide diarrhea story. Is it going this way?
Buckle up.
It's not our first story, folks.
I was wondering when you mentioned that you had a lot of sex stories. I'm sure you guys have like a board of genres. A kind of story.
Oh, yeah. Poop stories.
And I'm going to assume shit your pants stories are up there.
Oh, yeah. Please, please. Our favorite.
So I'm glad to hear that. So we're heading back from the fair so I can get back in time to ref this high school water polo game. And I check my Facebook while my wife's driving. And my sister-in-law, who's also had her gallbladder out, commented, "I don't know how you eat all that stuff without your gallbladder." And I went, "Oh, shit. I forgot I don't have a gallbladder, babe. I shouldn't have eaten all that stuff, right?" So I go home. I put my uniform on real quick. It hasn't hit me yet. And I got to haul ass to the game to get there in time. Mind you, the high school water polo uniform for referees is all white. White pants, white shoes, white shirt, white hat.
That, do you wear underwear in those?
White underwear.
You, no, you sound like one of the sperms in the Woody Allen, Everything You Want to Know About
swimming
Sex.
Swimming trunks or something.
No, you don't wear underwears in those. Are these swimming trunks?
No,
they're
no,
just lined.
No,
with that netting.
They're just like white Dockers. You're outside the pool. You're not swimming in the pool reffing.
Right.
Like a ball like boy in tennis.
They're like the black ones, but white. Are they like those? The shorts? You know what I mean? The ones that wear the...
They're just like white. They're just white pants.
Okay.
They're white pants. You're not in the pool.
No. You're on the side of the pool.
Okay. And you're white pants.
Yeah. You're wearing, you look like a painter who doesn't have very many jobs.
Okay.
You know, like I've stopped to get like a Gatorade on the way to games before and everyone's
an aspiring painter.
Like, you look like, bringing it back to the boy band thing, you look like you're 20 years too late for a boy band party. You're just wearing all white. It's very awkward.
Okay.
You know, so that's the uniform. I put it on. I hauled ass down to the school. I get to the school. We're getting ready to start the game. The principal comes over to me and the other ref and says, "I had to talk to you guys." And I'm like, "All right, what?" And all I'm thinking is, I need to take a shit before this game starts. Otherwise, I might have a problem during the game, right? Mm. Now this dude's taking up my pregame time, right? He goes, "Listen, I don't think it's a big deal. We don't want to postpone the game. But we do have a threat against the school." And it was like 3 days after another school shooting. He's like, "I don't want to scare everybody, but I'm just telling you guys so that if you see me come in the entrance, we need to evacuate." And I'm like, I am not trained for this. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is not, I just blow the whistle and call and enforce.
Right, now
rules.
You're really shitting your pants.
Yeah, I was going to say, either way you look at it, you're shitting your pants.
This sounds like
now.
The start of a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Now I'm terrified, right? And now the game's got to start.
Did he shit his pants in public or something?
No, well, it's just like, there's a threat. Okay. Who are we going to turn to? The fucking ref.
Hershey squirts Jean-Claude Van Damme.
But he has to shit himself. What is he going to do?
Diarrhea of justice, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah. Just spray it on him.
Too far.
Okay. Right,
too much.
I like
this
it,
this is a
though.
Great movie. We should write this script.
So game starts.
Okay.
And I'm doing all right. I'm hanging in there. No problem. I only got to get through like an hour.
Jesus.
But I'm so nervous now. And I'm trying to concentrate
on
this.
It's girls that you coach, right?
Well, I was reffing a boys game.
Okay.
Were you sweating? Did it get to that point?
Oh, I'm sure I was sweating. I sweat anyways when I ref a big game. Like, that's like a lot. You have parents yelling at you that know nothing about this dumb sport. Like, you know, like, I've been around this sport my whole life. I still don't understand half the rules. And these parents think they're experts out there. Like, that's a foul. Bar, bar, bar. It's like, you don't know shit.
What's the go-to when you're in the crowd? Like, you know, look alive.
It's ball under. Ball under. Everyone,
under the water.
That's like soccer. Everyone always thinks they know the offsides rule, so everyone just yells, offsides. If you go to a soccer game and you just yell offsides, no matter what's happening, half the crowd will agree with you. So I'm sitting there, and now I'm freaked out. I'm watching the entrance, right? And then I'm looking at the game, trying to do a good job at the game, watching the entrance. I'm freaked out. And then my stomach starts to get a little
gurgle.
Queasy. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. But I've been in
like
this.
I've
been in this situation before, though, and I know I could control it. I could hold it in, right? I'm on the side where the parents are. So if something were to happen in my white pants, the crowd is behind me. The pool is in front of me. The bathrooms are on the other side of the pool. So it's not like I would have even been able to turn, duck, and go into the bathroom. It would have just been in front of everybody. The quarter ends. I think I'm safe because now I get to rotate with the other ref to go to the other side. Normally, a player would take the ball, throw it out to one of the refs at the end of the quarter. Normally, it would be the other side of the ref, but I guess the guy was closer to me, so he threw the ball to me. But I'm watching the entrance, making sure the principal doesn't come running
through.
Oh,
it hit you in the gut and you pooped.
I looked over.
Get to the diarrhea part.
Making you guys earn it. What if I don't even poop? What if I'm just like, and I caught the ball and walked the other side. So I look over and the ball scared me and I went, what? And it happened.
I love that.
It didn't even hit you, it just scared you.
And I thought about jumping in the pool.
Oh, no.
Was it the whole thing or was it just like a little bit?
It was enough.
Was it just a turd or was it just like wet?
Pure.
Like, yeah.
Pure
it liquid. Was enough that I knew.
It was showing. Like I had moments before
it was going to show, yes. So I kind of backed around to the other side of the pool, went to the other ref, and I'm so embarrassed. I looked him in the face and said, this is ridiculous, this school shooting thing. I can't be here for this. I gave him the ball, and I ran. I left.
You big pussy. You couldn't even say, hey, man, I'm shit myself. I got
to
go.
I texted him later and told him, but I had to just get out of there.
Dude, Columbine, I got to go.
Because if I told him, he would have told everybody, like, oh, the other ref shit his pants.
He could just say he wasn't feeling well.
You have to be like, you have to have an anxiety. No, because I shit myself once in fourth grade, and I... no.
I sold tickets to it.
Who wants to smell it?
And what happened was, because I was an army brat and my dad was stationed in Berlin, Germany. It was the middle of winter. I don't know what happened, but I was in the library and I was like, I'm going to, so I get a pass or whatever, go to the bathroom. And right as I go to pull my pants down, I shit all over the bathroom. And then I wash my stuff out in the sink, but no one miraculously came in, right? But it was the same thing of as soon as someone came in, right when I put, and it was like those old like polyester pants, so you couldn't tell they were wet after I had rinsed it out. And an older girl came in, and I was literally like, some girl just came in here and shit all over the place. I don't know what to tell you, right? So like you'll say anything at that moment to get out of there. Dude. You're not going to be subtle
but
about
it. At this
it.
Moment, he is an adult.
Yes, but not, it's still the same thing.
I'm not
thing.
An adult right now.
No, it's still the same thing.
Who are you dealing with, Jeff?
What are people online saying, Austin?
Jason Marino does not believe this one. In fact, I think in the control room there, they're saying this sounds like a bit. Sounds like something written and set up with a punchline.
Well, in that case, it would be very true because my bits are real.
Yeah, see?
I don't make shit up.
It says in his bio he's a storyteller.
Jason Marino also says, can we get Sean some headphones that fit his head? Because those look a little big for his little head.
Aw. Little Shawnee.
Sean does look like he has a part-time job on the island of misfit toys.
I didn't have a complex until now. Now Jason Moreno's in my head.
Wow.
Yeah, he looks like a guy who pit.
Damn it. Why didn't someone say something? I'm sitting here. You guys are hanging me out to dry.
No, he actually said that like 30 minutes ago. But,
dude, you sit on the comments? Fuck, man.
Hostetter says poop emoji, bomb emoji. And Kia feels like Felicia's story is true. So.
Yes, that is a very true story. Nice. So I have a lot of empathy towards your story. All I do. Right.
Marino says sorry, dude.
It's okay. Don't worry. I still love you, Marino.
All right. Yeah. Michael, do you have any thoughts about these interesting stories?
Yeah, I want to know what it is like. What leads up to needing to get your gallbladder removed?
Gallstones.
How do you get gallstones? What's going on there?
I think it's just diet. It was the Super Bowl. The Colts were in the Super Bowl in Miami, and my wife's a big Colts fan.
Understandable.
It sounds like how a baby's conceived.
Yeah. So I had like acid reflux, and it was.
Did you ever feel it in your back? Because I've had gallstones, and I had the surgery, by the way.
It feels like someone's stabbing you right here.
For me, I had it in my back, and I had it for like a decade and didn't realize what it was. Like when I was
a decade?
No, like when I was 21 or 22, I would always get like uncomfortable.
That's only 1 year.
Back aches or something like, no, I'm totally serious. Like, and then I started to get like where it was felt like someone was punching me in my. It took like a long time. And then I had to go get my gallstones removed, yeah.
My wife and I both had our gallbladders out. She had hers out about a year before me.
Yeah.
And then when she had hers out, it was like emergency surgery. They had to like rush her in, right?
Yeah.
When I had mine out, I went into the urgent care on Friday night. And they said, yeah, you have to have your gallbladder out. And I said, I have Super Bowl tickets in 2 days. Can I put this off? And he was like, if you can put up with the pain, sure, I'll give you some pain meds, but you know, you need to get it out as soon as possible. And so by Sunday night, I was just sitting at the Super Bowl like, I should have just got it out. This is the worst decision I've
ever
made.
No, it's the worst
made.
Pain. It's a terrible pain. Yeah,
I couldn't
for
eat
sure,
anything.
For
I couldn't
sure.
drink beer. Because yeah. If you drink or eat anything fatty, it just all flares
yeah,
up again.
Yeah, because it's like a stopgap.
You're willing
before
to have several meals
goes
of
to your liver or something like
you
that.
Can.
I was drinking straight vodka, and I was eating those puffy pretzels, but I was knocking all the salt off, so it was just dough. So
how cute though! Now you match with your wife. You guys both
know.
Yeah,
that's kind of cute.
Oh, we both shit our pants often.
Oh yeah, I love it.
How adorable!
Let me ask you this: who got over it quicker, you or your wife?
My wife is way tougher than me.
Yeah,
my wife was breastfeeding my oldest son at the time. He was a baby.
She had her gallbladder taken out while she was breastfeeding.
So she refused the pain meds so she could continue to
Jesus Christ
breastfeed my son.
Champion.
Wait.
Champion.
I sit on the couch and watch Netflix all week.
I'll tell you what, that's the heart of a lifeguard.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Looking out after everybody else.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, so let's
Zero
move on.
Zero kids lost on her watch.
Right.
Let's move on to
How
your...
How many kids did you lose, Dave? I got a shit. Kids are drowning.
All right, let's do your second story. Let's see if it's going to be as...
Now I want to, I've got,
What? He's our guest! How dare you? How dare you mock this elfin man?
Wait,
how dare you?
Lie!
Okay.
I see. I'm all geared up to tell my shitting my pants story now.
No, don't veer from your plan.
Yeah. Don't veer from the plan.
She's never said to anyone.
It was fun. I just had some family in town. My aunt and uncle were visiting, and they're from Kansas City. That's the Midwest part from the bio.
Oh, I was just there.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Literally last weekend.
Were you working
too.
Out there?
Yeah, at the Uptown Theater.
Oh,
Joy
nice.
Diaz. Yeah,
oh,
it was awesome. And we ate so much barbecue. Oh my!
Did God. You have?
Oh, where did you go? Where did you go? Where did you go?
Q39.
That's supposed to be the spot.
And they had the
burn-ins.
The burnt ends.
Yeah, they have brisket burnt ends there. That's what they have there. Yeah. Is this a good time to plug my barbecue podcast? Meet Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think this is as good of an opportunity as you're going to get.
And how did we get on that podcast? Is there barbecue there?
Oh, there could be, my friend.
Oh, yeah.
On Instagram, he posts the most beautiful pictures of meat all the time.
Oh, wow.
What's your Instagram? You might as well plug that.
@DaveWComedy is my Instagram. Dave. I have so many pictures of meat in my phone. I ran out of storage space. I had to erase pictures of my kids. So I could take more pictures of brisket.
Oh, my God. I can't like you any more than I do right now. Wonderful. Wow. So that's a good place. Did you go eat there?
You know, I haven't been to Q39, but I've done extensive research into the places you should go.
Uh-huh.
And I've been to Kansas City twice for shows the past year. And the first time I went, they were having a barbecue festival at the Kansas Speedway.
Oh, yeah?
And nice. So we went there, and we got to sample, 12 different local places and see all the competitions and stuff. But we went to Gates this last time we were there.
And we had Gates, too. Yeah. But I liked 239.
Gates is supposed
better.
To be kind of it's like the corporate – it's not the best one, but it's like the one that you're supposed to go to.
What's your favorite style barbecue sauce?
I like tomato-based my favorite barbecue sauce in the world right now. I'm sorry. I'm going to totally take over the podcast with barbecue stuff.
It's okay.
There's a guy named Meathead. Here in Los Angeles, he's a pit master. He goes by Meathead Barbecue, and he makes his own sauce and sells it in mason jars, and it is so good.
Because I'm from North Carolina, so I like.
Oh,
the
you like
vinegar.
The vinegar base? Yeah, I'm not into that so much. So I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But the other thing we did in Kansas City, we have a smoker on the tour bus.
Uh huh.
So I brought a Score 9 Australian Wagyu brisket that I scored here in L.A.
Really?
And I froze it.
What did
Checked
you say?
It.
It's a stew wagyu.
A Score 9, which is the highest quality score of marbling you can get in a brisket.
You get that, Chess?
Wagyu is a very specific kind of cattle.
Oh, okay.
And we took it to Kansas City, and we went and picked out at Gates for lunch, and then I smoked the wagyu brisket all day, and then we had brisket for dinner that night.
Wow.
Sounds delicious.
I'll show you pictures later.
Now that story
I don't have
good.
I don't have any pictures of my kids.
Sorry, I'm hungry.
All right.
Can we just
our apologies,
grab a meal?
Sorry, our apologies.
Intermission? No, I want to get something to eat. Like,
no, no, Sean.
His
please.
Stuff's good.
Sean, please do your story.
Well, I would say so. my aunt and uncle were in town visiting, and just to give you a little bit of an idea about them, they're from Kansas City. Sound like they're from Kansas City, and they were out, and I was trying to explain to them like they wanted to go to the weed shops, and my aunt was like. Aunt Linda is trying to tell me, like, you know, I want to get the one you can put in between your you know, lips and your gums. And before I could even respond to that, my Uncle Don goes, you mean like cum? And I was just like,
hello.
Right, hell yeah. Like, that's the type of person that he is, just to give you an idea. And so the last time I saw them, I was in Kansas City. You guys said you wanted some sex stories. So, like, let me give them something. Jesus.
We're in.
I hope this is something you had planned ahead of time. No. You're not spare the moment doing this.
No. Okay.
Jess is mad.
I know. She gets angry sometimes.
I wanted to establish who my Uncle Don is because for the actual story. All right.
He's the cum guy.
Like, he's one. Like, he's got.
Did he
like,
say it I just quietly like to drink or did beer, he shoot say cum.
No, he did it
voice.
As a joke. Okay. He did it, you know.
He's a shock.
Yeah.
All right. So you're in Kansas City.
In Kansas City, and I had shows in South Dakota the night in Sioux Falls, and then drove 10 hours. Like, left after the show on Saturday, drove 10 hours through the night to go to a Chiefs game. I get there, and it was like. I left, I don't think it was exactly 10 hours, but it was one of those. I had maybe 2 hours to sleep once I got there before I'm getting woke up by my cousin to go to the tailgate at Arrowhead Stadium before the game. And so I get woken up, completely sleep deprived. He's like, we got to go stop, get something to drink. Like an idiot, I get a 750 milliliter bottle of Jameson thinking like, all right, some whiskey should wake me up. And it does for a little bit of time, but we're at this tailgate partying. I wind up blacking out. As I'm walking into the stadium, like I'm so fucked up.
This seems legit.
I'm just trying to wrap my head around that he would know the bottle was 750 milligrams.
milliliters. No, I remember like just thinking.
That's a thing.
And
then your uncle came everywhere.
Yeah. Right between my lip and my gums. He hit it right on the spot. So I'm like my last conscious thought is okay. I'm like with Chiefs fans singing songs, like going into it's like a fucking soccer game. And I remember this feels like fucking soccer. It's the last thing I remember. Fast forward to fourth quarter, the Chiefs score a late touchdown, fucking stadium erupts. And I like in my head, it's like bam. And I'm like thinking like I'm back on the grid. And like people next to me are like slapping me five and like everything sounds like we fucking did it, man. We got the leader. I'm like accepting five. But it just like it's hitting me. I'm like, I'm clearly a part of this section. Everyone knows who I am. I have no idea how I got here. What's happening? The Chiefs like wind up. And like I had gone to the game with my cousin Corey. And it was Corey, and he's not there. Like he had, like I remember him talking about wanting to meet some girl.
I'm
like,
Linda's son,
Corey. And I'm like, you know, I'm like, where the fuck is Corey? Where is everybody? And like, the Chiefs end up winning. I'm in this haze, like a hangover setting in. I was drunk, like it's like I'm dehydrated. I have no fucking money. I just want some goddamn water. Walk out of the stadium for like 2 hours. I'm like just walking around the parking lot until my cousin Corey pulls up in a truck. With a girl that he had like met there at the game, and he's like, "Get in the fucking truck! I've been looking all over for you." And I'm just like, "I don't even know like how I got here right now." Like, what? Get into the truck. We drive back to his parents' house. He had like just gotten back from Afghanistan, like super messed up. He winds up like taking this girl into like the bedroom, just going to have sex with her. I walk upstairs.
Corey. Let's hear Corey's. About Corey.
Yeah. Oh god, Corey's fucking nuts. I go upstairs, and my Uncle Don is watching football, and it's the halftime of the Sunday night football
game. The game hadn't even happened
and
yet.
And I sit down, and he's sitting there, and like they're doing the halftime highlights, and the Chiefs highlights come on from the game I was just at, and I'm just like, oh, shit, like, what happened in the game? And so I'm sitting there watching, and I'm like, oh, my God, like, kind of, like, reacting, because I haven't seen any of this shit for the first time. My Uncle Don was just like, didn't you just go to this game? And I was like, Uncle Don, I got so fucked up in the parking lot. I blacked out on my walk. I have no idea what happened. He was like, shit, sounds like you went to a Chiefs game. And that was
ski.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were gonna say you were on the Jumbotron.
No.
Something.
It was a high school water polo game all along.
No, I just went, and that was my moment. Like, I found out about the game.
She doesn't believe you.
You don't believe it?
That was all over the place. That story.
Jesus Christ.
Michael from the control room in there commented. Michael said, Austin, stay dialed in because I need a recap. I said, too late. I'm far gone off of this one.
Wow.
Fire away.
I didn't say that.
You make me feel better about my stories of blocking out, though. Because anytime I've ever blocked out at football games and woken up, I've been like, oh, shit, I didn't murder someone, did I? Like,
so how much time passed between the time that you got super fucked up drunk and Corey picked you up outside?
It was probably...
And you were at your uncle's.
It was five and a half hours.
Let's frame it this way. How many people were left in the parking lot?
There, not a lot. It was like the tail end of like people. It was like the very end, and I had a dead cell phone too, so I had no way of
like. Were you walking around in
just walking around aimlessly,
uh-huh. Right?
Like hungover.
How tall are you?
5'6¾" Too many people call me out on it. It seemed like Jessica made me stand back to back. It's gonna get even more embarrassing than it already is.
5'6", 7"
Some rental cops like, are you okay, little guy?
Yeah.
Where's your mommy?
Where's your mom?
Look, I mean this with complete respect.
I love that it got in your head.
Totally in my head.
We've totally rattled Sean.
Speaking of his head, Host Editor says, I bet his hair smells like chlorine.
Oh, smell it, Jessica. Smell his hair.
No.
You play water polo?
No.
No water polo over
you know,
here. Regular polo for me.
So you're 5'6". You're a slight fella. Let's face it. You're a shorty. I mean that with respect. My boyfriend's a shorty.
Do you believe we're doing this to this guy?
Come on. Hey, my kids are shorties.
I thought I was supposed to feel good about myself being on this.
I don't mean it like in a way of disrespect. I'm just saying, like, you have two and a half drinks. You're fucked,
you're
right?
Short. I'm fucking A-list height is what I am.
That's true. He's got
I'm
a good
easy
point.
To shoot.
Right. Got a good
easy
point.
To fucking
nobody
shoot.
Nobody my height matters. Right. That's a great point.
Well, Gladys,
thank you.
Glad he's having a whiskey before he drives me home.
So when you're in a relationship, you're the little spoon is what I'm saying.
No.
How many milliliters do you think was in that?
I would say 25 milliliters, I guess.
So five
it was a healthy pour.
But 5.5 hours between like being totally shit-faced, were you asleep when your cousin Corey picked you up?
No. I was like just like walking
like a zombie.
So by the time you were with your uncle, you never fell asleep during that time. You were wide awake.
When I got to him, like after... Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, it
seems
was like
odd
I
that
was
you
up.
Weren't still fucked up and maybe passed out.
Yeah.
Instead of five hours later, you're looking at yourself on a screen with your uncle saying, I was so fucked up, instead of, I'm so fucked up.
No, I mean, I don't remember. I don't know if I don't remember if I fell asleep at the game while I was at the state. I just, it was like this moment happened and it was like, boom.
Yeah, you came back online.
I was like, it was like the fucking start of Jason
Bourne. I know,
Bourne.
But once you
like
left.
Just boom, I'm on the grid
once
again.
Once you
now.
Left, you still, you had blacked out. You were so drunk that you had blacked out, right?
I blacked
you
out.
You left and you didn't go to sleep when you got back?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
When I got back home, I went to, like, I literally, like, Corey was, like, going in with this girl. I went upstairs just kind of like, you know, trying to get my life together.
Did you sleep in the car the ride to the house?
I don't remember.
I'm confused about,
I just
like,
remember.
The first story was very, like, you know, it had some details, but it wasn't, like, he wasn't, like, he was, like,
he
very
told that
old.
Last story very
yeah.
passionately, though.
Yeah, yeah. So well, he had something
is,
to prove with
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Take your best guess, folks. I'm fucking playing. I told you I was going to be playing poker right out the jump.
Michael, what are your thoughts?
Everyone out on their heels.
I made my mind up.
Tall drink, Michael. What are your thoughts?
You know what? Hey.
I'd like another whiskey before the ride, if possible.
Yeah, dude. I don't know. You got to be about full, huh?
Maxed out. Oh.
What about
it's going to be a very illegal drive home.
Can't be any scarier.
I think he's going to wake up in 5 minutes.
Dave, are you sure you don't want to drive us home?
Here's what I find. Sorry to interrupt. Here's what I find. Before I forget this point, whenever this happens, where a story goes on a little longer, a little wordier than we think that it should,
excitable, a little excitable.
Right. Whenever that happens, it's usually like basically because somebody is spending a lot of time on detail that isn't necessarily entertaining because it really happened and that it's necessary to the story.
That's
because
a good
he
point.
Lived it.
Yeah.
It
that's
it,
a good
but
point.
But here, hold on.
But he everybody, had that in both stories.
True, and don't forget, I suck at this game really bad. I never get it right, so I don't know if we should trust my.
I
methods.
Think you get it more right than I do. By the way,
dude, I don't know. Sometimes I just steer you the wrong way. I bring
you
to my
it's
team.
True. That happened last episode.
Crash the plane for us both.
You guys don't know what the fuck to do.
I don't, man.
Not necessarily.
Michael Vargas sorta. Says that he's a big fan of Sean Dinklage. Glad to have him on.
Oh, God. What the fuck? Like, I'm still a human being with feelings.
Hey, Kia says, please don't read these comments later tonight. I'll leave
it. Why? You apart, Sean.
Kia, why would you do that? Why
for
would
a
you
second, I was like, your last name is Dinklage.
I like how I admitted to shitting my pants and Sean's only getting torn to shreds.
No, right.
Yeah, Sean parties and he's getting ripped, dude.
I know, right?
Oh, I'm so
fucking
sorry.
Deceiving fellow students, all this cool shit.
Yeah, Dave
fuck
could be lying
you.
About a school threat. And
yeah.
Can I tell you guys something?
So Dave called in the school shooting threat.
So this is outside the game, right? When I have a hard time, like, thinking about, like, for example, trying to figure out what stories to tell for this, right? When I'm trying to come up with an idea, right?
Right.
And I'm having a hard time with it. Normally, that moment when you're not quite asleep, but you're not awake, you know, in the morning or at night, when you're kind of...
No, that's prime time.
Dude, and if I really concentrate on that before I get to that area, I get great ideas, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this morning, as I was kind of not quite awake and asleep, I was trying to concentrate on what story I should do as a lie, right? I was trying to come up with something. And I got my pilot's license when I was in college. And my lie was going to be that I crashed a plane and I had it all worked out. And then as I'm eating my lunch, I go, that is the most unbelievable fucking story. That's the dumbest fucking story. I was so set on it. And then when I was sitting there, I was like, it finally failed me.
I kind of did something similar where I was like concocting this like drug deal gone awry story. I'm like, this just, they would never believe I would get myself involved in anything like that.
You did the right thing by bringing it back to Kansas City with your Uncle Don and all that.
Yeah.
Because it really matches the first, honestly.
Yeah. And it allowed me to plug my podcast. Meet Dave.
There you go.
All right.
It's your turn, Dave. What's your last story? Unless you have something you would like to share from the folks online, Austin.
No, I'll spare Sean from the comments there.
Oh, why?
Fire away. Fire away.
Pick two.
Yeah, well, I don't care. Like,
Now I'm a little jealous people aren't talking about me.
Yeah. Hey, man. Sorry you're not connecting with these people, Dave.
Dave, you're getting your
Follow me at Sean S. McBride.
Dave, you're getting your play. You're getting your play.
The little spoon that could.
Oh, my God. Right.
That's actually the name of my next album. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Your fans are mean.
But dedicated.
That's all that matters.
And Dave, you're getting your play in the comments, don't worry.
I'm
okay,
sure.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, they're so obsessed with the barbecue.
See, it connects with people.
Hey, but don't check out Sean's Instagram. For real, huh?
Yeah.
He's got barbecue. He's got all sorts of stuff.
I also
Sean's Instagram is called Pee Wee Fight Night.
Wow.
You don't have to fucking pile on, Dave, all right? I'm driving it home.
He still organizes fourth grade backyard fights.
Ladies and gentlemen,
he sells VHS copies of them.
All right. So you're.
I'm bringing
your
my story back to the lifeguard theme.
Wow.
This is the night.
Keeping them both in the water.
That's
like
brave.
It.
That's brave.
This is the night I saved a life. It was my 21st birthday. I took my girlfriend, who's now my wife, my cousin, who was a girl, my cousin,
you knew
who was
your
a
wife
boy.
Since you were how old?
We started dating when I was 20.
Wow.
We dated for a very long time and then got married.
Wow.
So I had my girl cousin, my boy cousin, and three of my water polo teammates from college. And my parents were very big boaters. I grew up in Miami.
Okay.
So my parents decided they want to throw me a nice 21st birthday, right? So we spent a little money on it. We went over to Bimini, Bahamas, parked the boat in the marina. And the girls, like, we partied all weekend. We went fishing. You could drink legally there. So my friends who were underage still were able to come to the bar. We just had a great weekend, right? We'd been partying pretty hard for 2 days straight. So this one night, we were kind of not going out hard. And we'd been fishing all day out in the sun. So I fell asleep in the boat on the cabin.
And the boys were all staying in a cabin we rented.
In the sun?
In the marina. Yeah, because we were out like fishing and stuff in the sun during the day. So, you know, I passed out for a few hours and all the guys...
In the cabin in the boat.
Cabin in the boat,
And yeah. they rented a place that was in another boat?
So we had the girls were staying with my parents in the boat.
Okay.
And the boys were staying in a cabin in the marina just right off the boat, like two docks away.
Okay, so like a hotel room yeah, of some like sort? Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So, this is to keep it so there would be no funny business?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Girls are over here. Boys are over here. Yeah, I don't care exactly. that you're 20, all adults.
At 21, though?
Yeah, but my cousins were younger.
Okay.
And it just made sense.
Okay.
And it was the first time my parents really met my wife, so they didn't want to be like, go stay in a hotel room with four dudes. They didn't know if she was comfortable with that, you know?
Right.
Makes sense.
So turns out she was a lot. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. So I wake up on the couch, right? And everyone else had already gone to sleep. It was like middle of the night, right? It's like 3 a.m. or something.
In the cabin.
In the cabin on the boat. So I get up to stumble to the cabin. As I'm doing that, there's this big group of people coming back from the bar, and they're at the beginning of the dock. And they go, hey, mate, wonder if you help us with our friend here. And there was this girl who was very inebriated.
Was it Australians raping a chick? Because it was, Australians are fucked up.
I don't know what.
Jesus Christ.
Racist, Felicia. No,
that was a real blanket statement.
No, although I did date an Australian, and she was fucked up, I got to say. No.
I think you just took out not just an entire country, but basically a continent with that.
Because one time I was friends with this comic, and he had Australian friends, and they were very aggressive.
I was deployed with them, but I mean, they were as aggressive as every other military guy.
I don't know. I can't confirm or deny. I don't even remember what national. It could have been British. Could have been Australian. I just remember they said mate a lot. That's all I remember. Okay. Right.
Felicia, so I got your back. Australians are fucking crazy.
Right,
yeah.
Michael, right?
Yeah.
Great. Now I'm going to get hate mail from Australians.
Sorry, three listeners from New Zealand. Oi, I'm sorry.
So this guy goes, hey, would you help us with our friend? And I'm like, oh, I mean, I guess, yeah, I was trying to be nice, right? So I go up and I help. She could barely stand. I help her. Like, I put my arm around it.
How many dudes was there?
There was like five dudes.
And they couldn't hold her?
What I found out was they were uninterested in holding her. Because they go, thanks, mate. And then they drop her and they all go take off back to the bar. And I go, what are you guys? And I grab one of them and I go, what are you doing, dude? And he's like, we don't know her. Like, we're just, you know, I'm like, well, I think maybe they were going to do something shady. And then she was not even staying awake or whatever. They got stuck with her. So I grab the dude. I go, you're not going anywhere, dude. I don't know who this chick is. I don't know what's happening. So the guy agreed. He's like, all right, I'll help you. So he helps me start carrying her. And we're like, hey, where's your boat? Which boat are you staying on? She's not making any sense. She's like, oh, zibba, blah, 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 blah. So to speed the story up a little bit, we finally find what boat she's on, right? And it's the only boat in the whole marina that's parked bow in, which makes it much more difficult to get on the boat. So I tell the guy, look, dude, I'm going to go knock on the door. You stay here with her. And she's like, no, I don't like him. I don't like him. You stay with me. And I'm like, whatever, you go knock on the door. He's like, I'm not going on that boat. And I'm like, all right, then you got to stay here.
She knows the Australians.
Yeah, right? I don't mean, who knows what happened before I got there. So I get on the boat, and then the second I start walking up, this dude was just like, I'm out of here. And he just left and left her there by herself, right? I don't realize it at the time. I go to the back of the boat, and I'm knocking on the door at 3 a.m, hoping someone answers. And while I'm doing that, she was trying to follow me to get on the boat, right?
Oh, no.
So she's trying to step over the bow rail, slips, hits the boat deck, hits the dock, hits the water, like that.
She falls in the water.
In the water, like 10 feet.
Did she hit her head?
I don't know at this point, right? We'll get there.
Wait, do you mean it was like 10 feet from like the boat, like from where she fell to the water, or like the water was 10 feet deep?
No, the water was probably about 30 feet deep.
Plenty deep, so there wasn't any issue of like, sometimes near a dock or near where boats are docked like that, you can almost see rocks through the water sometimes.
Yeah, no, she wasn't going to hit anything on the bottom, but that marina is like an inlet, so the tides, when the tide's changing, the current rips through there.
She's gone. We're going to have a drunk girl rips. Taken out to sea.
Now,
And then you shit your pants right there.
And then I backed out. I got to go.
These kids.
You're on your own.
Foul. Whatever.
So, So,
I'm glad you're having a good time, Sean.
I am. Despite all of this, all these hits to my ego.
I know. I felt a little guilty. And my apologies to
the Australians.
I'm going to forge
on. It's that fighting Dinklage spirit I have in me.
So I hear the boom, and then I hear the splash, right? So I leave the door. I run over to look over the side of the boat. The current was ripping so bad that I could see the spot where she entered the water because it's like that foamy white, you know?
Right.
And I could barely make out her body about 5 feet underwater zipping past me. So I jump up on the side of the boat. I go to jump in after her. I reached in and grabbed the room key out of my pocket and throwed it on the deck as I'm diving in, like Baywatch style, like throwing my sword out of my pocket on the deck. And then dove into the water, right?
Just
chased her down. Yeah.
Like, the Baywatch song went on in my head as you were describing all this.
It was total Baywatch, right? I catch up to her. I grab her. I pull her up. Just for the logistics of the story, it's kind of important to know, too. She was a larger girl. She was not, like, you know, not just saying she's overweight, but she was very tall. So she was a big girl. So it wasn't very easy to pull up, right? So then I had to egg beat her kick back against the current. And in my brain, in the middle of the night, I'm just thinking of all the
egg
sharks.
Egg beater kick.
Yeah. Are you all the like sharks bowing? Yeah, yeah. Egg beater kick.
Just throwing these terms at right. us, so confused.
Yeah, like I'm expecting us to know them, like bowing, right?
Well,
like,
I may or may not want to win this game and looked up terminology today for a lot of this.
Well, what's
stuff.
An egg beater Ooh. Kick then? You got to explain to me an egg beater.
An kick. Egg beater kick is the primary form of treading water we use in the sport of water polo.
The primary wow. form.
So it's like you sit like you're in a chair and you rotate your feet like this. It's the most efficient way to stay afloat, and it's also kind of like you're like a linebacker because you're like poised to either lunge this way or lunge this way. It's kind of the equivalent of that. So
man,
you want to plug the water polo team you coach too?
No, I'm trying to not talk about that actually.
okay.
So I get her back to the boat, right? And I'm trying to get her up on the dive platform, and I'm just like, I can't believe that just happened.
Where's
and
your arm around?
Probably anywhere I could get her.
Okay, right.
So as I'm doing that, her dad had walked out of the boat, walked
All
over, looks down and goes, "What the fuck is going on out here?" He just sees some dude with his drunk daughter in the water. He doesn't know I just saved her. He just thinks we're out there having a good time, you know? And I'm like, "Dude, your daughter's hammered. I have nothing to do with it. I just got her to the boat. You need to, you know, it's your problem now." And I find my keys.
Were
to
you
the,
in the water shouting that out?
Dude! It's your daughter's
it's your problem!
I'm going to be a dad one day when I am.
Was she saying anything during this?
Oh, yeah, dude. She was saying, like,
and you said it's your problem now to her dad?
I mean, I probably said
Were you in the water as he said that? Were you in the water? Sure.
She is your problem now.
Your problem now.
So I picked my shit up off the deck of the boat. I was like, she's safe. It's not my problem. It's on my,
can I have my room key back?
So you pulled this tall girl out from the drink onto the dock.
Yep. So I walk back now, like people have
out
come
of the drink.
From
out
the terminology. Drink. You got the terminology going.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Sure. Egg beater kick into that drink, dude. Yeah.
Is that a schooner over there?
I like how you're getting more and more confident coming into this. Like.
Yeah. Slap me on the poop deck or whatever. Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah, so weird.
How many knots were you traveling during all this? So.
Egg beater 3.2.
So I walk back, right? Soaking wet, obviously. I can't believe this just happened. My heart's pounding, right? They're like white trash who can afford a yacht, just sitting there yelling at each other. And she's trying to get off the boat. And he's like, "I don't give a shit what you do." And I'm yelling across the mirror like, "I am not jumping in the water for her again. So you better not let her try to get off that boat." Like, you know? And they finally went in the cabin and like nothing to see here. Everyone went back in their boats and whatever. I get back to the cabin, flick the light switch on so I can change and find my suitcase and everything. The guys wake up, look at me, and go, "Where the fuck have you been?" And they see me all wet, and I tell them that story, that harrowing story, how I just told you right now. And all three of them looked at me at the same time and went, "Bullshit, you just fell in the water." Like that. And they, to this day, think I made that story up to cover up the fact I just fell in the water.
I think I need you to describe a little bit more, like, when the dad came out, where did he come out from? Like, where did those guys come out from? Was it another boat? Was
no, it's a cabin. So the cabin's here, and there's a deck, right?
Uh-huh.
So I knocked on the door, and then she fell here and was coming back. I dove over here. He came out the cabin at that point,
uh-huh.
was seeing what all the commotion was, and saw us in the water coming back to the boat.
So did everyone follow those fingers?
But how did you... How did you get her out of the water, though?
They have dive platforms on the back of big boats, so uh-huh. you got to get up on the dive platform,
uh-huh.
and then they have like a little like door.
So you're telling me as you lifted that this woman out onto the dive platform, you were shouting at her father?
I don't think I was shouting at the father. We might be focusing on that too much, but I was definitely telling him like, "This is what happened." Like, it's not like I didn't want him to think I was some dude from the bar that was trying to like. Hook up with his daughter and her like.
There's a lot of YouTube clips of like seals hanging out on the back of those flaps.
Yeah, I've seen that.
yeah, this was one of those situations.
Kia believes that this is indeed the story that you told this girl's dad, but it ain't what happened in that water that night.
How old were you? So you were introducing your woman, but not your wife, to your parents?
No, it was my wife. Yeah, it was my 21st birthday. We started dating when I was 20, so it was the first time she ever came on like a trip with my family, basically.
Jason
follow-up
Marino's
question, did he get some puss?
I don't remember, but I hope so. We were in the Bahamas.
Jason Marino says, so everyone you know thinks you made that story up. Not yes. a great sales pitch for trying to convince somebody this story's true. Right. And Michael Vargas is chiming in saying that Brisket Hasselhoff is lying.
Brisket Hasselhoff.
Oh, my God. Is that web address taken? I am getting on Wix tonight and buying that.
I should add that Marino.
Thank you for watching, Michael.
Jason Marino also said congratulations. He was so glad that we were able to get the Hulk and Ant-Man on the same podcast. So, way to go, guys. Glad to have you here.
Wow. Hey, you Paul Rudd's a handsome dude, man.
I know. I'll take that.
It's true.
I'll Paul star. Rudd's handsome.
You I guys know. He's that? Like 87 years old, and he still looks good.
Still, yeah, he's the same guy from Clueless.
Yeah, I know. Like, he looks the same. Hey, well, so, Michael, what are your thoughts on these stories?
I don't know. Small Rudd is all I can think about. God, I was the first proponent for being done with that, by the way. I feel terrible. This guy's going to think we really don't like him. Anyway, what do I think about the stories? Whose stories? Who are we talking about right now?
Well, for sure, Dave's story. This story was much longer. It had a lot of details. Like, the first story had some details, but, I mean, come on. Everyone shit their pants before.
And
so
it also
like,
had a nice little button. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm.
and yeah. Just,
yeah.
I think that what we talked about with Sean's second story, this kind of went on with this story where there seemed so much to stress that in the first story wouldn't have been highlights worth stressing. You know what I mean? Like, it felt like it really happened. But also, he said he did his research and tried to prepare for this. So I think he's just trying to dick me.
Well, he knows these terms. Don't let him fool you about research. He already knew the whisk.
Yeah.
The egg beater.
What a few egg beater.
Whisk.
Yeah.
There's no whisk in wallet smart. Water yeah. polo lady. Guys.
Let me work in what the kids were working on at practice.
We're going to whisk 200 yards, guys. Let's go.
Yeah.
Any thoughts?
Damn it, Jeffrey. Bow in. Fuck.
Cal Wiggum saying that story is not true.
Really? Why, Kyle? Why?
Cal.
Why?
Jason Marino says second story was very long. His pits got sweatier with this story, too.
It's hot in here.
Yeah, we should tell you, Marino, that it is very hot in here, so obviously the longer we go, the sweatier we get.
About fucking time you've been on the receiving end of some hate. Jesus, all right.
I'm going to say there's very little hate for Dave online. Leah.
You don't have to say that.
Yeah, you know.
Leah even says he's that I could listen to Dave tell a ton of stories, but also,
I have a new album coming out December 13th. It's all stories.
To be fair, she did refer to Sean as adorable, so we should.
Sean is adorable. He is
tight. Yeah.
Listen, two people have referenced my muscles tonight, so you guys could say as many bad things as you want. That's what I'm going to remember.
Sean in the room.
But Sean's got a hog. Sean definitely's got a hog.
That goes without saying. Thank you, though. But
I think the important thing to say right now at this point in the podcast is. we have a new sponsor, Blue Apron.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
That's why you dyed your hair blue, Jessica.
Right. Yes,
you
forgot. Blue Apron.
Just for Blue Apron. And when I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner. Well, let's have Austin recap the stories very quickly.
Start with Sean.
All right, yes. Sean's first story. He was in third or fourth grade, couldn't remember. And these kids, James and Chris, out in Massachusetts, were all, was it Massachusetts, I think?
Yes.
Always getting into scraps. But old Sean was so hyped about boxing, he formed a little kiddie fight club. Like some kind of
pre-teen. Never got off the ground.
Don King. Never got off the ground. He tried to sell tickets, and his principal, Mr. Lash, gets all angry and rips into crybaby Sean. And then his dad convinces Judy to let him off the hook.
It's a good
Jesus
one. That's
fucking
a good...
Christ, Austin.
I love that your mom's.
It was a harsh Cliff Notes, but this whole experience has been harsh.
What's your dad's name?
Jim.
Oh,
Jim and Judy.
Jim, Judy, and Corey. I can remember all these names.
Uncle Don? Yeah.
Uncle Don.
Good old Uncle Don.
I bet
Don.
Corey got a lot of puss, though, right?
Corey still gets a lot of puss.
Corey's that boy out in Kansas City. Story two, his family is, in fact, from Kansas City, and Dave really loves barbecue, he added to that. So his Aunt Linda, we're talking about Sean here, and his Uncle Don from out in Kansas City visit, and they're looking for those come-like-weed things that are apparently all the rage in Kansas City. Never heard of them. But that apparently really had nothing to do with his story, because...
No, he did preface it. His whole story with that, just so that we can know who Uncle Don was.
But and then I thought that was so
Uncle
weird.
Uncle Don said nothing at the end that you would have thought. Maybe Uncle Don would have said something silly.
Wellington like, from
this
deep.
Is why Don is like, this
you're
is why
right,
I introduced
Michael.
You.
You're
shout
right.
out with that Jay Well support.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be comeback. Like, right. The Chiefs really come that game away today or right. something. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
Like, what the? Where
None
the,
of that.
What?
So that,
why did you introduce us to Don then like that?
I'm glad he did, though.
It apparently had nothing to do with the story, which ended up being about getting drunk and singing songs at Chief Games with Linda's son, Corey, and then rewatching the game with Uncle Don, and it was all brand new to him because he was blacked out drunk.
Yep.
And Uncle Don, all he said was, well, hell, you were just at that game, weren't you?
That was his whole purpose.
And that was it.
Just fucking give me my goodnight moment.
Yeah, shout out Uncle Don.
Time to go to bed.
Shout out Uncle Don.
Many questions, none that I will ask. Okay, so what do we think? What do we think, Michael?
I think the second story is true, purely based on the fashion in which he told it and my experience in hearing other stories told.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know. It just felt genuine, and I think the guy clearly understands details worth explaining in the story. He did in the first story. The second one had a lot of meaningless riff, and I think it's because it was real, and it felt like he needed to include it, or else the story wasn't his true
story. But he didn't need to include it at all. I think he was just throwing shit at the fucking wall.
You think what, Michael? First story's true, you thought?
No, first second. Story true, second story true, first story lie.
Yeah, that's what you said.
I'm opposite. I think first story is true.
Agreed.
And the second is a lie.
I think the second story is a lie.
I have a hard time believing that a child in fourth grade would know who Don King is.
No, that I actually agree with, because I think I did back then. I remember Don King because the hair. It's the hair.
Yeah, but where did you see Don King?
On TV.
Doing what? Where on TV?
I don't use...
Mike Tyson was huge in like the 90s.
Yeah. Honestly, though, that I definitely could see him remembering and being cool with Don King.
You didn't know the kind of kid in school, too? Like, I can see Sean being that dude. Like that, like he's
was
like,
he involved?
Look at how we're fucking with him now. He's like you become clever and stronger in other categories. He's like
we're doing it for your own good.
Yeah, he looks like the dude that found a way to make money off of kids promoting a fight and not fighting in it.
Was Don King involved in wrestling as well? Was he?
He was just promoting boxing, I think.
Yeah,
mainly.
Heavyweight boxing mostly.
Boxing.
Yeah.
I love boxing.
Yeah, plus my dad watched boxing. I bet his Uncle Don did too.
Yeah, it's Uncle Don King.
I will say that I...
Wowee, what the fuck? How did we all miss that?
That's right, I just put that together.
Dude, thank you, guys.
Punky Johnson, thank you.
Yeah, this changes everything. What the fuck?
Another little Easter egg I threw out for all you guys.
What do you think?
I think that I believe that Sean would try to make money that way. I know we did when we were in school. We used to sell... we'd get our mom to buy, like, Jolly Ranchers and Blow Pops at Costco, and then we'd sell it for 25 cents at school. We were all little drug dealers, but with candy.
I did it for pencil toppers that I made from like pipe
yeah. piping things.
We don't want to get into that sadness.
Yeah.
I believe Sean's capable of it, but I don't think it's true. I think the second story is true based on the way he told it.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, dude.
Yeah.
I think it's a lie.
I think the second story is true because I don't think someone in fourth grade, I mean, I do believe that you would know about boxing, all that, if your dad was into that, maybe in junior high, but fourth grade is like fucking.
No, man, third grade, I was the only girl with the Ultimate Warrior fucking notebook.
You know what? I agree. Hey, on both sides here, Felicia, I'm starting to agree with that. It does seem a little advanced.
You know, fuck you, Michael. You have led me astray.
Yeah.
One time too many.
I know it, man. I'm the worst. I don't know. Hey, it's all chaos in here too, believe me. But what I'm saying
is flip flop back here.
I'm playing for both teams, baby. You know what I'm saying?
So
basically, it's like that does seem a little advanced for a kid at that age, but I was pretty fucked up by the fourth grade too. Like, I had been exposed to more than you were making it seem like by saying he couldn't do that in the fourth grade. It seems doable.
Agreed.
I'm sticking with my shit. I think he did that shit.
I had boobs by the third grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, same.
Me too.
We did not need to know that piece of information is all I'm saying. Fourth grade, though? Really? Fourth grade?
Third grade, I had boobs.
Really?
Damn, I was a chubby kid. Shut up.
Fucking stacked, third grade, bro. Though. Stacked. Third grade, stacked young.
I'm gonna stick to my story that the second story is... I just can't imagine that... Because I feel like you gave a lot of details in that story, but...
Unnecessary details.
I know, but there was never, like, any part where you passed out or you had, like, a...
Right. It doesn't make any sense that he would still be awake to talk to Uncle Don at the end.
And weren't you in Kansas City anyway? Why did it take you 5 hours to get to your Uncle Don's?
No, Kansas City. That's, like, from the... No, like, 5 hours. That was, like, from... the start of the game until I got back, like when I was walking in, like the beginning of the
blackout.
But
you were still in Kansas City. The whole story took place in Kansas City.
Everything took place in Kansas City.
Well, that does make things a little different, but I'm not changing my mind. Not doing it.
All right,
a lot of good barbecue, Kansas City.
Great barbecue.
Woodyard barbecue.
What do you think, Austin?
I think that the first story is true. The second story was just so all over the place.
It was so all over the place. What do the people online think, pretty much?
Dark Star thinks Sean's first story is a lie. I think that our buddy Michael Vargas agrees with you and I, Jessica, that the first story is true.
All right, Vargas.
And I think Jason Marino was going the other way. Or, I'm sorry, Kia was going the other way. The first story is a lie.
Oh, but she gets a lot of them right, though, doesn't she?
Kia's pretty good. Kia's pretty good. So
she thinks the first story is a lie, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Kia. I'm going to go. I think the first story is a lie.
We got to wrap the baby up.
I know, and I just gave you my answer.
We already know your answer.
The first story is a lie. Second story is true.
Oh, no. Okay. That's the same. Go ahead. Sorry.
Do I divulge now?
Now tell us which story is a lie.
The story that is a lie is the chief story.
Wow. Oh,
yeah, of course.
I got catfished into another one.
My Aunt Linda and Uncle Don are visiting right now. And we watched the Chiefs game yesterday, and my uncle was telling the story of my cousin doing all that. And so I inserted myself.
Somebody said that online.
And made up a bunch of shit on the fly.
Wow. Somebody said that was a story that happened.
I was like, in my head, I was like, I probably should have fucking passed out.
Yeah.
Why didn't I say that?
You guys see how bad I handled that? That's the perception I'm walking through the world
with
every day.
So wait, so That's like 1 hour or 10 hours away from you just telling a story about, like, I was in a podcast studio.
Yeah.
Well, I had a whiskey.
Approximately 25 milliliters.
Yeah. 25.
All right.
26, 24, give or take a milliliter.
Recap the second stories.
Dave's first story, he was experiencing school as an adult and had to get his gallbladder out in his 30s. His wife had the same thing done, by the way, his soulmates. He's heading to ref this high school water polo match with no gallbladder, a gut full of bad food, and white pants. He gets bubble guts but tries to overcome it and poops himself and blames school shooters. Story two, he was 21 with a boy and girl cousin and his now wife plus some water polo buds. So they go partying in the Bahamas or somewhere. I kind of missed that part. And the next day, Dave passes out in the boat cabin. But then I zoned out for a second. Then these rough and rapey Australians who Felicia hates stumble upon
don't hate, but I just had an experience with some Australians once.
Yeah. Well, they stumble.
Sorry, I brought that up for you.
They stumble upon this drunk girl.
Fucking triggering the hosts, man.
And they even decide to leave her be because she's so drunk. And she drunkenly falls into the rip current of the water. And Mr. Baywatch here jumps in and does so consensually without gropey hands and saves her and returning her
fucking
to
egg
her
beater
father.
Kicks it all the way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
going
to be the name of the novel.
All the way back to the poop deck, baby.
EBs for days.
I have problems with that story because, as my experience, having drank with Australians before, I kind of feel like, look, I hate to generalize. It's not correct to generalize, but I think the Australians would like if that chick was super drunk.
Would it help you wrap your brain around it if I said she was very aggressively against being with them?
But you didn't say that in the beginning of the story. You just said she was like,
yeah, I didn't know you were going to be hung up on it.
But he did say whenever the guy left him, you know, he wanted him to go on the whatever. He was like, I hate this guy. I hate him.
I know, but let me preface this. My experience back in the day is that Australians were very aggressive, the men. And you were like, ew, that's fucked up.
Was it still early?
Drunk, but they were pretty. So like,
early in the night? Mm-hmm. It was like 3 a.m.
Michael Vargas says egg beater kicks by Blue Apron. Get yours today.
What do you think, Jessica? What do you think?
This is a rough one for me because I do feel.
Does that mean I did good or bad? If it's hard to guess.
Yeah, you did really good. I saw right through this little brat.
How dare you? How dare you? How dare you, our guest?
He fooled
Respect
me.
Respect our guest.
Well, you were the easy one, Dave.
Respect the Dinklage. Respect the Dinklage.
Obviously, we know that he coaches water polo, so that's real. We know he's from Miami, and he has probably had boats. He does stuff in the water. He has muscles.
I believe the water polo part and the coach, even the white pants part. I just don't believe the shitting his pants part.
I don't see him blaming it on a shooter. You know, like he's a comedian. He's an adult. He would have been like, dude.
No
pants.
One shoots up water polo.
Well, you know, what's kind of interesting is like the more details in Sean's second story made me disbelieve his story, but the more details in Dave's second story made me believe his story.
It's true.
Yeah. It's a conundrum I'm
in. Well, because every detail
that's what makes
that
us a dynamic guest set.
Every detail that he gave, you know, made sense or at least led somewhere. We didn't find out about Uncle Don in the beginning, and then at the end, just find out Uncle Don said hello. You know, like,
but I didn't believe
that was like my version of the aristocrats.
Jessica,
it's nothing.
Do you know what the aristocrats reference is?
The cats, right?
Everybody.
How well do you know her that you knew she was
a cat?
The Broadway play, The Cats.
What a fun position to be in to not have heard that yet. Yeah. Jessica still gets to hear the aristocrats.
Wow.
Oh my God, that's what awesome.
Do you can we? Can somebody do one just so we can see her react to, well, this is it. Welcome to the party.
When are you
going to start
episode 1
out.
Of The Sopranos?
I'm sorry I called you out, Jessica. You know, here's the thing. I don't believe, like, the whole, like, I'm dragging your daughter out on the, like, dive platform of a boat.
I like that impression of me.
You know what I mean? Like, that was a lot of shouting. Like, I didn't rape your daughter as you're pulling her out of the water. That's...
Well, he was probably ad-libbing a little bit there, but the guy was
She's your problem now.
Yeah, what the fuck's going on? I'm believing this story.
Nice callback, Sean.
And he may fool me, but I'm believing.
All right, I believe the second story. The first story, I don't believe a man of your muscles can shit your pants like that.
But then again, I will say he is a competitor, like you said. Maybe he knew what he was doing.
Let me just say this. A man that eats as much meat as Dave does ain't shitting his pants. They take a while to push that.
I think you took a couple stories and put them together and did a lie at the end. I think you did go to the OC Fair at another time, ate a bunch of horrible shit, did have a terrible shitting experience.
Had his gallbladder
took
out.
That, gallbladder. Big misdirection
Coach
there.
Coach's water polo.
Like, I think you ate all that stuff, went home, had a very rough night, took a scenario that would be you know, rough for you. Like, I'm going to put myself in this ridiculous uniform. And then the whole throwing it, it was like a fucking John Hughes movie. Ball hits him in the stomach. He shits himself. The fucking Billy Zabka
so
fucking shits himself.
I'm so mad that
I'm
fascinated by your explanation.
No, but I'm just
I'm
like,
letting Sean have a moment.
I sexed it up. I think we have a
Sean's
combination
right,
of
no.
things, and it was a, I need to come up with something. And that's what I think you did.
I have my gallbladder
I'm
out.
Team Sean, baby.
Thank you.
I can't believe I'm on his side.
So first story is a lie for you too, Jess.
Yeah.
So everybody across the board pretty much thinks first story
what do you
is
think,
a lie.
Felicia?
I think the first story is a lie because okay. I had my gallbladder out, and ever since I've had my gallbladder out, I never thought about I'm going to shit myself.
Right, and she
of
eats fried stuff all the time. She yeah. eats the fried zucchini yeah. from Carl's
yes.
Jr.
Yes. Yes.
Let the record
yes.
reflect yes. that Mark Melvin and I believe it was Kia believe that the first story is true, and as well as our friend Michael Vargas believes the first story is true for Dave.
Ooh.
So they're actually going, all of us are on the same page, first story lie. They're all on the same page, first
oh,
story
listen,
true.
If you, wait,
what did y'all hear that we didn't hear?
Listen, if you boil it down to this, if you got to believe about Dave, about this guy, if you got to believe one of these two things is true, that he shit his pants wearing white at a pool in public, or that he saved a drunk bitch who fell off a boat.
Saved a drunk.
I just believe it's more likely he once saved a drunk bitch off a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, look
yeah,
at his hands. Tough. His hands are so manly.
Like they yeah. could save a drunk bitch.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know that? Yeah.
Like only use these for good, not evil.
He looks like you look like you have a fucking looks like you got a what? Torque wrench.
He is.
Oh, not, fuck.
You got a torque wrench I could borrow, I'm sure.
I've burnt my fingers taking barbecue out of a smoker so much that I don't have nerve endings anymore.
That's how I like my men, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No not sensitivity in the fingering.
All right, I'm gonna say the first story is a lie and the second story is true, but I don't know why I'm saying that. But the first story is a lie, second story is true. I guess I don't want to believe that you shit your pants and that you wear
he shit his pants.
I want to believe it, and I believe that can happen, but I just don't believe that that's how it ended. I think that whole story happened except for he barely held it together and got to
explode.
You
wouldn't have blamed it on a shooter. That's such a wimpy thing to
do. It's so weird that your wife also had the gallbladder
removed. It's a punchline, the shooter thing.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So everybody agrees that the shit your pants water polo story, lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Why not?
So what you guys are saying is...
Did I just win everyone to my wrong team here?
No, you never
no,
do.
We were there
shut
first.
Up.
We were there first. So by the way, Mark Melvin just said Jessica's panties are wet. Okay, keep going.
What you're saying, as a collection of people who okay. have a lot of experience now, and dare I say are experts in sniffing out lies...
Dude, I'm the worst.
...and what is true...
We're right.
...are saying
just
that
tell us
I... did in fact rescue a girl from the marina, and my friends have not believed me, but it happened. It
yeah!
happened.
Yeah!
I rescued a girl
yes!
from the
yes!
marina.
Yes!
I knew
yes!
it. And I've finally validated
yes.
20 years later,
yes.
no one believed that story.
And the lie detector test says that is the truth. Congratulations. Take that home
this
with you.
This is so worth my time.
Yeah.
Zero rapes on Dave's watch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you fooled everybody online?
Nice try, Australians.
Yeah. Not today. Not ever.
I think they were actually British, but I didn't want to be wishy-washy on the details because you were so obsessed on it. I was just going to leave it alone.
The Australians,
what kind of dental
if they
hygiene
weren't rapey,
they
they're very handsome. They're very handsome.
They're all or nothing.
They're fucking crazy.
I'm all
crazy.
About the New Zealanders, the two listeners that
it's okay.
are.
They're,
that
Wellington.
Are
yeah.
They're drunk and they're crazy. They are.
All right. You guys have been awesome guests. Thank you so much.
It was a lot
for
of fun.
Thank
a lot
you
of fun.
So
thank
much.
Thank you guys for doing
can
it.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where people can follow you? What do you have coming up? Anything fancy?
You don't have to say a lot about yourself. Just where can we find you?
Jesus, Jessica. let him
not so much hate
bit.
Today. I didn't even mean
that. Kia said that.
Well,
they,
after this, I'm going to go get a real job. I know that.
We all
got to get out of
you
here.
Guys finally made are. Sean quit comedy.
Yeah. So what kind of forms do I have to fill out to be a substitute teacher here in Los Angeles? It's pretty easy.
No,
right
where
now.
Can we find you?
I'm hosting a brew fest tomorrow in Baja, Mexico.
Really?
What?
Yeah, at Baja wow. Seasons. I'm leaving.
You better
it,
only have one and a half beers. I'm just saying.
You don't want to black out there.
Yeah. Definitely don't want to black out there. Probably will limit myself to under 50 milliliters of the Jameson for that one.
That was
maybe take some bottled water with you.
Yeah. Work in some water. Be smart about it. But now that's tomorrow, Baja Seasons. I'm headlining a club in. Minnesota, Dangerfield. I don't know who you guys have out here, but Dangerfields at the first weekend of December.
They have a Dangerfields in Minnesota?
Yeah, or, wow. But it's but I think it's no affiliation.
Yeah. Are we done with the game?
No, but it's not affiliated with Rodney. It's just Dangerfield is the name of the place, and I think it's been there for a while. But that's like
it's in a dangerous field.
Yeah, that's like my next like road gig. Everything else is local besides that.
What's your Instagram or something we can follow you
at? Sean S. McBride, S E A N, the correct Irish spelling. S. McBride.
And no short jokes on there. You rep that correct spelling, boy.
Fuck yeah.
And what
S-H-A-W-N,
about you, Dave?
That's just lazy.
Fuck them.
My Instagram is at Dave W. Comedy. I post a lot of meat pictures, as we've established. It's also my Twitter handle, or you can find my fan page on Facebook at Dave Williamson. I also produce a lot of shows over in the South Bay, so if you want to come out and see a show, just follow me on Instagram. I'm always posting stuff on there.
And Jeff Dye coming up. We've had him on the
Wednesday
podcast.
Night.
Oh. Jeff is great. Jeff
Wednesday
is great.
Night, Jeff Dye is going to do a headliner set at a whiskey distillery a few blocks from my house. A really cool place. If you check out my Instagram, I'll be posting about that a lot the next couple days.
That is way too much handsome for one building, by the way.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So, but most importantly, man, if you like hearing me talk about meat or just telling stories in general, listen to my podcast, Meat Dave, M-E-A-T, Dave. I think you'll like it even if you don't like barbecue. That's it.
Let me ask a quick question. How did you meet Bert?
I opened for Bert when I was living in Miami still at the West Palm Improv. I featured for him just randomly one weekend. We got along. And then just over the years, I happened to open for him here and there and there and just got to know him. And I have a festival in El Segundo that I run every May. So I've been doing that for 5 years. And Bert always been nice enough to come do his podcast live at one of the breweries.
Oh, nice, nice.
So I've always kept in touch with him through that as well. And a couple years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, when he was getting to the point where he wanted to bring his own openers more, he asked me if I wanted to do road dates, and I said, yeah. So I started doing clubs, and I'm now theaters with him. There's probably about four or five of us that rotate in with him.
Does Sean book the festival with you?
No. Would you like to?
Sure.
Sean did help me out a lot this past year, though. Sean did come help me produce some of the shows a lot. The way the festival works is I bring producers from all around LA to our really cool venues in El Segundo.
I mean, I'm just saying we do a live version of this.
Come do it. Yeah, come do it.
We would love to.
This would be a really fun one, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, to have live.
It would with an audience being able to chime in. I mean, it'd be great if we could have everybody.
Yeah, we just did that at
the
Portland Comedy Festival. Yeah, yeah. You guys have been such great guests. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And thank you for being a great sport, Sean.
This was a blast. I had an awesome time with everybody. Wonderful. Yeah.
Jason Marino just chimed in and said, Dave, the ladies are already wet. Please, you don't have to keep talking about your meat.
I think your fans have been very lovely.
Hey, dude.
Very flattering. For Dave.
There's wait, but what about this comment here that's from some chick that's like, oh, I'm so wet for Sean, too. Holy shit.
Are you just being nice?
He's so hot.
You guys just have a
you made that up.
Lie.
You made that up.
You just made that shit up.
Hey, dude. What?
That Mike, dude. He's a good guy.
It's a nice ginger in there.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey.
Someone else just commented, Sean is so tall.
Sean is so tall, yeah. Yeah, Sean
he's
is
like
tall.
He's like 6'1", right?
All right, Michael, where can people follow you?
High Five Michael on Instagram. Just tune into that. I got live dates all over town every week around LA, so check me out.
Wonderful. And what about you, Austin?
I'm at the Austin Walker on everything. October 29th, we have the Liars Club Live here at the Belly Room of the World Famous Comedy Store. So come in. The girls will tell you a little bit more about who's going to be here that day.
We have wonderful guests that day.
Brad Williams.
Oh, nice. Who else do we have? Ryan Sickler.
Ryan Sickler.
Yo, we should bring Sean around for the Brad Williams show.
Did you see our track back to back?
That wouldn't be fair.
We should have Sean. We should have Sean kick his ass, right? We'll get it on camera from a few angles.
My vote is Brad.
See, that's like the last thing I need to do is give other people an excuse to kick my ass. Like, they would be like, fucking get him, and it's an easy win for them.
Thank you guys for listening to us, and thank you guys for being guests on our podcast. Do us a big favor. Go to Blue Apron. If you put in liars into the code box, you get 30% off, and that would be a great thing because we need sponsors. And thank you very much for tuning in. And remember that we go live at the Comedy Store's YouTube on Mondays at 4:30 and most Fridays at 8:30. But you could also come come and follow us on our own YouTube page. We have a lot of animations. We just put up a Bert animation a couple of weeks ago about him having diarrhea at tennis camp, and it was a lot of fun. We're working on a Bobby Lee Ray.
Coming very soon.
I know, Bobby Lee animation that's coming. And if you could do me a favor, if you're a member of Amazon Prime, please go see PERS, my documentary that I made. It has Felipe Esparza. I'm sorry to fucking always hawk that, but I worked really hard on that.
Some of the YouTube videos, though, the picture's missing.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you later.
Okay. What? Why you can't just load that? What do you mean the picture's missing?
Because you say, now available on Amazon, but there's no picture.
Sean McBride's over here. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, or you can go see my special that just put up on Amazon Prime called The Whole Story. Jessica?
Follow me at JessWellington2 across the board.
And she's going to be on Frankie and Grace. Oh.
That's in January.
Yes.
Grace and Frankie.
Grace and Frankie. God damn it.
Last thing, guys, also I have an animation coming out.
Fuck off.
Risk it. Hasselhoff.
Okay. Everybody.
All right.
And you have been lied to.
Everybody wants to be a cat. Because a cat's the only cat.
Well, this has been like school.
No,
but different.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney believe you. Well, the real liar, please stand up.
She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.